I hope you're enjoying going through Calvin's teaching on prayer as much as I am. Today we pick up with section 4 and 5, which are Calvin's first rule of prayer, which he defines as reverence. And basically he makes 8 or 9 points in these two sections. And the first one we can look at in the very first sentence. Now for framing prayer duly and properly, let this be the first rule, that we be disposed in mind and heart as those who enter conversation with God. Calvin says, first, that God is not our buddy, that he is the exalted, majestic, holy, and eternal God. And that when we call upon him, later in this section, he's going to talk about the incredible privilege of being invited into conversation with God, that when we draw near to him, we need to respect him. Now, this is interesting because there's a tendency in the modern thinking to say that we need to bring God down somewhat. We need to make God more of a buddy. We need to make him even changeable so that the only way he can really interact with us meaningfully is if he changes with us or has emotions like we do. But actually, the biblical model is that we have confidence that God not only hears us, but is able to help us when we have a biblically high view of his transcendence, that he is the Lord. He doesn't change. He's holy. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, that he's ordained whatsoever comes to pass. And because he's so exalted, he can be near to us by covenant because of his pledge to us in his Son. He can at the same time be imminent. So we don't get to choose God's transcendence or his imminence. God is transcendent, glorious, exalted, self-sufficient, independent of the creature. And also because of his omnipotence, he can be imminent and close to us through covenant. He says a little bit farther down in the first paragraph of section 4, now I do not require here the mind to be so detached as never to be pricked or gnawed by vexations, since on the contrary, great anxiety should kindle in us the desire to pray. Now, every time I read this sentence, I think, thank you, Mr. Calvin, that in your mind, we don't have to be so detached, because Calvin recognizes that the best of us crawl toward heaven, and therefore we're going to be gnawed by vexations. And in fact, he says in this same line that the greater our anxiety, the more we should desire to pray. The third main thing in this first paragraph, the only paragraph of section 4, he says, but I say that we are to rid ourselves of all alien and outside care by which the mind, itself a wanderer, is borne about hither and thither, drawn away from heaven, and pressed down to earth. Do you like that line there as I do? The mind, itself a wanderer. Now, who among us would not say, when I've sat down to try and pray, my mind has wandered, thoughts all over the place. This is part of our fallenness. But when we draw near to the Lord in prayer, we are to labor as much as we can to get rid of outside cares, not to be so pressed down by our earthly cares that we forget the one to whom we are praying. To this end, I think it's probably good to use the Psalms to guide our prayers, to emphasize in our prayers first praise. David often does this, even in the midst of great anxiety, that when he goes to the Lord with a heavy heart, he begins by praising him, or at least setting as the goal, Lord, I'm bringing this need to you because I want to praise you again. He says lastly in section 4, I mean that it, the mind, ought to be raised above itself, that it may not bring into God's sight anything our blind and stupid reason is wont to devise, nor hold itself within the limits of its own vanity, but rise to a purity worthy of God. Now, at the end of section 5, Calvin's going to say, we can only do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. But be encouraged. Be challenged. Have high views of God. Think about His majesty, His holiness, His sovereignty, His independence, the way the angels bow before Him. They're worshiping Him right now at this second. And let that raise your mind to say, ah, if He is so glorious, so holy, and yet so near to me, I can certainly trust Him and praise Him even in the midst of the greatest troubles.